Welcome to TR Talks, where your host, Team Rajpal, talks everything Toronto and GTA real estate, from buying, selling, leasing, investing, and rental management. An unfiltered conversation with industry experts helping you stay up to date with the market.
Well, hello, Ms. Geeta.
Hello, Xerxes. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing absolutely fantastic. Do you know why?
Tell me.
My prospecting for the day is done.
Amazing. I love it. I mean, and you're telling me like I don't know. I was there with you, door knocking. Always a great day in Team Rajpal when we're door knocking. And it's sunny outside. So absolutely love that.
Excellent. So,
are we ready to talk about what's on our mind?
The elephant in the room.
Mm-hmm.
So for those who are not aware, yesterday the federal government, I repeat, the federal government,
not the provincial government,
announced in their upcoming budget that there is going to be a sort of renter's bill of rights, which I found very interesting. Definitely caught my attention.
Mm-hmm.
Not only because I'm in the business, being an investor as well, and also having been a tenant, it's really important for me to understand what they were talking about. So I want to start off by saying that housing is a provincial jurisdiction. Okay, so each province has their own jurisdiction over housing. So I find it very interesting, to say the least, that the federal government wants to get involved and meddle in this.
So, and to quote, Mr. Trudeau said, "We're bringing forward a number of measures today to focus on renters, but over the next weeks, we're going to be talking about all the different things we're doing to bring in fairness for young people and for all Canadians." So this is something that is being introduced countrywide, and the goal... go ahead. It looks like you want to say something.
I love that word fairness. I really, really do. I mean, if any person looked at the Landlord-Tenant Board Act and saw how many rulings went towards tenants, I mean, it would exude fairness, let me put it to you that way. And for those who can't hear the sarcasm in my voice, let me tell you, I'm being sarcastic.
And I know. And here's the thing. I mean, we're in an interesting situation because we as a team, we represent landlords and tenants alike.
100%.
So when we talk about fairness or unfairness, we see it on both sides. But what tends to happen is the government makes it out to be like landlords are the devil. And you know, every tenant out there is being... is being screwed over by landlords, and it's not always the case.
So I just before we kind of get into this, I just want to like take a step back a little. So you might wonder, like, okay, well, you know, with for people who are sitting on the sideline who are not landlords or tenants, they're just, you know, bystanders, and they're homeowners, let's put it that way. They might wonder, well, why on earth, like, all I hear is that being a landlord is horrific, and I hear all these horror stories. First of all, I'm going to stop there and say 98% of leases, the landlord and the tenant have a very respectful relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And both, it's a mutually beneficial situation, and both parties need to learn how to respect the other. That's number one. Number two, for that small percentage, which gets blown up by the media left, right, and center,
as does everything else,
the interesting piece is that there are these landlord groups, these tenant groups on social media, and they seem to have a lot of time on their hands. First of all, but essentially, they call out the other left, right, and center. And what's interesting to me is the fact that landlords are in the game for what? So first of all, if you actually look, they don't have carte blanche over their own investment with regards to the rules and regulations. They So what is causing them? I can tell you, even when interest rates were low, if you bought a property with a 20% down payment, which is what the what banks require in order for you to become an investor, your costs are not being met on a monthly basis, let alone putting money in your pocket. So why did people become landlords? Well, people became landlords because the equity in the property grew, and that's how they increased their wealth. But the point is that with the Bank of Canada's rates being so high, even that has become a disincentive. So when you go to these extents of putting in measures in place in order to, you know, show a vote bank that you are trying to be on their side and trying to advocate for them and trying to do something, keep in mind, there is another side to the coin, which at some point, if private investors put their hands up and go, you know what, I don't want to be a landlord anymore. Mm-hmm. Is the government supporting these people? Because I'll tell you, Chrystia Freeland stood in front of a mic not that long ago, and she said, we are giving people affordable housing. We're going to give them rentals for $1,600 a month. Do you know the size of those rentals? 350 square feet. You're talking about $5 a square foot. That's more expensive than what private landlords charge in downtown Toronto.
100%. And so here's the thing, just to take it back a step, what was the announcement? What are some of these measures that they have communicated that will be a part of next month's budget? One of them is it's a good thing, actually. One of them is a good thing for tenants because they're going to be able to build credit based on their monthly payments.
I'm actually fully in support of that.
Absolutely, because you know what? The renters are eventually going to want to become homeowners, and this actually helps them. So this is a good thing. One of the second things that they're looking to introduce is transparency for tenants to be able to see, well, what were the previous rental amounts that a landlord had prior to renting out to the new tenant. And so it's having access to the rental amounts before they actually go ahead and rent.
So 2 points here. Going back to the original point that you made, I've been a huge advocate for tenants being able to build their credit by paying rent, because if you pay a mortgage payment, it goes for you as far as your credit is concerned. So exactly. why should it be different?
Yes.
But having said that, there are things like our property management company offers this to tenants all the time, where it can actually happen. So these are things that are already in place.
Yeah.
Secondly, with regards to getting transparency into what rent, like the previous tenant paid, the fact of the matter is that at least in Ontario, I get that this is a Canada-wide thing, but at least in Ontario, you can easily see that. Like,
yeah. It's open information, but they make it sound like this is something that's new. They also have a $15 million tenant protection fund, which provides money for provincial legal aid organizations to, quote-unquote, better protect tenants against unfairly rising rent payments, rent evictions, or bad landlords. But unfairly rising rent payments, that is not something that is controlled by what people like to always say, oh, it's the real estate industry or landlords themselves. It comes back down to the thing that we've been talking about as an industry, it's supply. And so if the focus is put by the government on finding solutions as opposed to taking the given situation and putting Band-Aid solutions or trying to penalize people within an existing system, that's not a solution. That's penalizing.
It's a very stick-based system. There's no carrot, number one. Number two, $15 million in the grand scheme of things, I know it sounds like a large sum of money, but it's not. And you know the ironic part is, it's the government who has the ability to improve the infrastructure for housing, and it is the government who has control over the number of people coming into the country.
100%.
So, you know, it's everybody else's problem, but not the government, and then they're the one. It's buying votes. I mean, I'm going to just say it. It's buying votes. Like, I'm sure there's going to be people who give me backlash online for this. It's buying votes.
The other thing is, as well, that, you know, when you look at the LTB and how long it takes for landlords, because here they're talking about bad landlords, but what about, you know, what about the bad tenants? And this is not in any way to take away from the situation that we're in right now, where there's no doubt at all, things are becoming more and more unaffordable for the younger generation, particularly those that haven't seen their salaries go up in line with what the housing prices are going at or what rental prices are going at. But again, it's the government not paying attention to finding solutions and increasing supply. But you've got, you know, with the LTB, the wait time in some cases is up to 3 years for a hearing. So we've got clients today, landlords today. I spoke with one of our clients whose parents, elderly parents, are landlords. They're now in year three, and they have not been paid rent. It's become like a it's become a case where their tenants have subleased little areas of their home to multiple tenants. They're not in a position to evict them. The hearing for the eviction has been postponed over and over and over again. And this is now, I think, year three that they've just come into.
So, I mean, look, the fact of the matter is that no matter what
side,
it's not even that. It's every time the government meddles, really speaking, there's this uproar. And then things just, it's business as usual after that. I mean, yes, when there's true policy change, yes, it makes a difference, 100%. And that has an impact. But really speaking, when things like this happen, I mean, you know, our wonderful prime minister just stood in front of a camera and announced these things. But put some thought. Like, you can actually do some good. You can actually help tenants. But you can also actually help landlords. You know, I can tell you that it's really unfortunate the number of tenants who actually are, they're good, well-intentioned people. They are on the verge of being able to afford something. In fact, in certain cases, can afford something. But the landlord goes into it with such a skeptical mindset.
Yes.
Because they know the moment they sign that piece of paper, they've actually relinquished their rights for a number of issues. And I'm not sitting here and saying, well, the landlord has nothing to benefit. Well, then don't become a landlord, number one. You definitely have, there is an upside, a huge upside, a financial upside. But the truth of the matter is that when it comes to the actual tenancy, the number of people that get bounced because of the skeptical mindset. And if you actually said, okay, you know what? We truly want to make it fair. We want to make it a system that actually works for everybody. Truly speaking, the private sector will actually make it work. Like, the market will change and the market will work. But give it a chance. Don't try and buy votes by just standing there and making announcements like this. Like, it was such a vague announcement.
And going back to what you just said about, you know, landlords being so skeptical, what are we seeing right now? Like, we're getting 3, 4, 5, 6 offers on each one of our for our investors on their listings, yep, right, for lease. But like you're saying, they feel skeptical, so everything is being looked at with such a fine tooth comb. Yes, it needs to be. You want to make sure that you're getting qualified tenants coming into the property. But if landlords knew that they were not going to be penalized and stuck with a bad tenant, if it turns out to be a bad tenant, and they had some way of, you know, they had ways or recourses, then they wouldn't be so difficult in accepting tenants that, you know, may not make make the cut in terms of being a triple A tenant. But you know what? They'd be okay with it.
So this
is, in fact, Xerxes, it's actually going against tenants.
It really is. And this is what, like, create a, like, actually listen to what the public is saying.
Yeah.
Like, actually listen to what is needed. Did you know that most lease agreements today require double to triple amount of the paperwork as a sale agreement? Do you know the, like, first of all, I didn't know that every landlord was a financial institution. Like, I mean, you know, the truth of the matter is that every landlord is asking for bank statements, for this, for that, credit reports, for employment letters. Absolutely, you need to do that. But, like, you get into nitty-gritty about, like, if someone has a is self-employed, I want notice of assessments, I want bank statements, I want to see what is going in, what is going out, and not for 1 month, for months on end. I want... if you're self-incorporated, I want your personal notice of assessments. I want your business financial statements for the last 2-3 years. And, like, you're sitting there and you're going, okay, and I get it. I understand because of the situation the way it is today. But since when are you a financial institution to determine whether or not this person can afford this?
And you know what? If the system was simple enough where it's like, hey, you're basically, as a landlord, you're looking for somebody that is going to take good care of your property,
yeah,
and that is going to pay you rent on time every month. That's really the two things. You're not looking to build relationships. I mean, yes, to some degree a relationship gets formed. But if they knew, both the landlords and the tenants knew, that it's a fairly straightforward system,
yeah,
then landlords, from their part, would not go out of their way to question, to be skeptical,
100%.
And to say, I'm not 100% sure, because they would know that, you know what, in the off chance, this tenant is not legit, they are not paying what they should be, or they're not taking care of the property, it's a fairly straightforward process,
yeah,
and they can go in, speak to the powers that be, and say, okay, you know what, this is not working out, okay, here's your notice. But no, it's not going to work like that. It's almost like every landlord is guilty until proven innocent. They're guilty until proven innocent.
I can say also, likewise, with the tenants, look, there is harshness both ways. It's
agreed.
It's and just
we
a question
represent
of,
both.
We do. And,
yeah.
And there's, again, I would go to the extent of almost saying pretty much all of the people we've helped, landlords and tenants alike, have been good people, like well-intentioned, good people. The number of landlords and tenants who actually helped each other through COVID, that was such a beautiful, genuinely beautiful thing to see.
Absolutely. And we've seen the frustration on the side of the tenants as well.
100%.
We see it every day because we help landlords and tenants alike. So
It's unfortunate that between the between the province, because this is the first time the federal government is starting to meddle.
Yeah.
But between the province and now the federal government, like, just take a step back. Like, if you actually take a step back, if you actually put the resources into the right places, like, create a hearing system where someone didn't pay me rent. Okay, there are the forms that you need, and within the month, I can get a hearing. You know what? If my interest rates are high and I can't afford to pay my mortgage, really speaking, at the end of the day, which mortgage am I going to pay first? My own mortgage or the one that the tenant lives in?
Exactly.
And by the way, when I don't pay that mortgage, guess what happens over time? The property gets repossessed by the bank. Tenant, no tenant, the property gets repossessed by the bank.
Yeah.
So everybody loses at that point. And it is unfortunate, and I think people can hear the frustration in my voice at least. And I just, for people out there who are going to sit there and judge, you have the right to, but also know I am someone who was a landlord and a tenant at the very same time. So, and for a number of years, I've been a tenant for way longer than I've been a homeowner of my own principal residence. And the fact is that when you have a good relationship with your tenant and your landlord between the two people and have a general understanding, things go right. But you have to be respectful to each other. You have to be respectful to the fact that the landlord has a mortgage to pay and you are paying rent, irrespective of whether they have a mortgage to pay, if you have signed a commitment in order to pay your rent, pay your rent. And landlords, if you've signed a commitment that you're going to give the tenant a good home, if the air conditioner stops working during a heat wave, fix it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Don't sit there and just wait for someone else to do it.
Yeah. And I mean, I can give you examples of landlords of ours. I mean, despite, you know, when we talk about the increases in the rental values and all of that, and how extreme in some cases it can be, we also have several landlords that have made the decision, a conscious decision, not to increase rents.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know.
And by the way, a lot of those are the ones that don't have the rent increase, like don't have the 2.5%, for example, this year, where the properties are newer than 2018, so therefore they can raise rent as much as they want, and they've chosen not to.
That's what I meant.
We even have landlords who have that capability where they're. I have a landlord I was speaking to the other day. His outgoings every month on the unit are about $3,200 a month. The tenant was paying something like $2,300 or $2,350 a month. He has the capability of raising the rent more than the allowable amount and said, you know what, I want to give them a break. Everybody's going through a hard time. I'm going to do it the 2.5%, which doesn't even cost his increase of his condo fee, let alone his property taxes and everything else. But the point is, there are good people on both sides. Those are the people who should have a carrot in front of them, not a stick.
Yeah.
And that is the unfortunate scenario in this case. The last thing I'm going to touch on over here with regards to this, from what we understand, is that they're announcing that there's going to be a Canada-wide
standard
lease agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Why? I mean, the amount of money they'll put into something like this when the provinces already have them. It's like they think they know more than the people who've been doing this for a number of years. Like, it's...
Well, not only that, you make one little change, you're right. So much money is thrown at making these changes, which just makes more paperwork, more unnecessary red tapism. Like, for what?
Spend that money, give it to the province to create more landlord-tenant board officers.
Yeah.
Free up the system for the people who truly need a stick in front of them, both landlords and tenants alike. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, both. So, you know, at the end of the day, all these politicians, left, right, center, doesn't matter, all of them play this tune of pointing fingers at the other. You know, it's not like the only two words the other guy knows how to say is carbon tax. Yes. So, you know, at the end of the day, just actually take the time, if you're going to enact a policy, try and actually help the people who put you in power. Like, don't try and make this about a vote bank and things. Like, genuinely, just try and help someone.
Yeah. Yeah. And the sad part of it is that the people that this is directed towards just may lap it all up and not see it for what it truly is.
Yeah.
But on that note, hopefully this has given some insight to all of you about where things stand. More will be coming. But as always, Team Rajpal is here to answer any questions, whether you're a tenant or a landlord. We're here to protect your interests and answer any questions that you may have.
If you ever had any doubts that we were not passionate about what we do, listen to this podcast.
Yes, yes. It'll get clarified right here. But if you do have questions, comments, do share this podcast. Ask us about any other topics you'd like us to cover. And thank you to everybody that has been giving us such amazing feedback. We really do appreciate it.
Have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy the weather.
Yes. See you next week.
Bye-bye.
TR Talks is hosted by members of Team Rajpal with RE/MAX. Rajiv Rajpal and Xerxes Barucha are brokers. Geeta Rajpal and Nicholas Ip are sales representatives. All registered with the Toronto Regional Real Estate Board, Real Estate Council of Ontario, and Canadian Real Estate Association. This podcast is for informational purposes only and not for financial or investment advice. Please do your own due diligence.